This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE. Or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out. Why? We love that question, don't we? You do, I do, everybody does. As soon as you talk to one of these journalist types, or what we call journalists in America, they'll tell you that's one of the first things they teach people. The why is the most important. Whenever you're churning out articles, little news clips, why is important? Because it's what the audience wants. It's what you want. It's what I want. And I am as guilty as the next man of only caring about the why. The who, what, when, and where, tell me the why. But we have to understand there are times in life where why actually doesn't matter. Aren't there? I mean, if I come home tonight, I talk to one of my boys and he's packed up, got a bunch of luggage there, and says he's moving out of the house. He's moving to Zimbabwe. He doesn't like it here anymore. I'm probably going to ask why. I'm probably going to want to know why, what's going on there, so that can matter. But if I leave the studio tonight and go to my pickup truck and I find a man sitting there slashing my tires and spray painting the truck, does why matter? Or does stopping him or getting away matter? Sometimes why doesn't matter at all, and we focus on it way, way, way too much. I want to know what's in his heart. Maybe for your pastor, for somebody running for president, do I care? Should I care? I'm talking about Joe Biden. The title of our show tonight, The Real Joe Biden. What does he believe? Why is Joe Biden saying this? Why did Joe Biden used to say this and now he's saying that? Who cares? Do we know? No, we'll never ever know. Joe Biden has been a politician for over four decades. Joe Biden has been a politician for longer than I've been alive. And the truth is this, and you don't like to hear this. I don't like to say it, but it's true. Even on our side, once you've been there three or four decades, you don't believe in anything anymore. And I'm not doing that cynical thing where everybody running for office is a scumbag. None of them believe in anything. That's not true. I've met some wonderful, wonderful people who really are trying to do the right thing, and they're going there to serve and fight, and that's fine, but there's a shelf life on that, always. Once you've been in Washington for 40-some years, you just are Washington. That's what you believe. You believe in being a politician, in staying a politician, doing some good press, and you believe in the perks that come with being a politician. And rest assured, there are perks. It's more than just a good salary. It's Joe Biden never has to make a reservation at a steakhouse kind of life. And that's not a bad life. And they all want to keep that life. Joe Biden used to be middle of the road. Moderate, I don't even know if you can call it that, because who knows comparing old Democrats to these psychopaths, but Joe Biden used to at least be what we would call normal, kind of normal. And now Joe Biden, he's not normal anymore. He's out there saying some extremely leftist things. He's got major, major whack jobs around him. And if he is elected president of the United States, he will put these whack jobs around him in important positions of power and do really, really crazy things. Now, you can say all day long, well, Joe Biden's a more normal candidate. Who cares? If he gets in there and he does a bunch of nutball leftist things, why do I care what he really believes? Doesn't matter. Here's Joe Biden on taxes. I love this.
I will raise taxes for anybody making over $400,000. Let me tell you why I'm going to do it. It's about time they start paying a fair share of the economic responsibility we have. The very wealthy should pay a fair share. Corporations should pay a fair share. The fact is, there are corporations making close to $1 trillion that pay no tax at all. I'm not punishing anybody. This is about everybody paying their fair share.
Fair share. All right, we're going to do just a brief economic lesson for my leftist friends who watch the show. Rich people do not pay taxes. They're not punished by taxes. They're just simply not. It's always the middle class or the little guy who gets punished by taxes. And what's wild is Democrats have to know this. They've seen this play out for years. This is how it plays out. You have a guy here, he's a billionaire. And you have a guy here, he makes $100,000 a year. And so you pass this huge wealth tax. Billionaires will pay an extra 10% a year. Well, what comes with being a billionaire? Lawyers, good ones. Not the guy who did night school when he wasn't in prison. Good lawyers, accountants, a team of staffers that can tell you, well, we'll just move this company here. We'll headquarter it here. We'll move this money around here. Maybe he feels a little somewhere, but he'll never know it. Who really pays? It's the guy making $100,000 a year who buys things that the billionaire's company makes that now just got more expensive. Every single tax on the planet, everyone universally, is a tax on poor people because rich people don't like to pay taxes. Nobody likes to pay taxes, and rich people have the ability to get out of paying taxes. Democrats know this, and yet they lie and they lie and they lie repeatedly. Also, let's not get numb to the violence we've seen on the streets against police officers. I'm not going to show you all the videos tonight. I've showed them to you enough. We'll obviously keep you updated as more come out, but more and more violence against police officers. You've seen it all. Remember this. Democrats have poured gasoline on that fire at every turn. for whatever reason, the Democratic Party has become the anti-cop party. And this goes back to the Joe Biden, what's he really believe? Who's the real Joe Biden? Because, I mean, Joe Biden's the guy who passed the crime bill. Joe Biden has an established career being pretty pro-cop. And now Joe Biden's out here saying things like this, giving tacit approval to violence against police officers.
Do you believe there is systemic racism in law enforcement?
Absolutely. But it's not just in law enforcement. It's across the board. It's in housing. It's in education. It's in everything we do. It's real. It's genuine. It's serious. Look, not all law enforcement officers are racist. My Lord, there's some really good, good cops out there. But the way in which it works right now, we've seen too many examples of it.
Too many examples of it? Another lie. And let me just say, and I'm not trying to indict that journalist at all. Don't even know who she is. Where's the follow-up question? Too many examples of it. Like what examples? Let's remember this. This rampant violence against black men by police officers is a great line. Democrats have been trotting it out. The media has been running with it. It's now cemented in the minds of so many in the public that this is just the truth and, well, it's something we need to deal with. But we have black and white data. We have numbers. And the truth is this, there is zero statistical evidence, zero, that black men are being unfairly targeted by police officers. And so you'll always get this, well, you don't understand, this is how I feel. No. That's for your mommy. I don't care how you feel. Your feelings couldn't possibly be less important to me. Tell me what's real. But he pushes this narrative. Cops are the enemy. It's, look, there's a lot of systemic racism in cops. And then a cop gets hurt and they stand up and say, whoa, man, I don't know how that happened. I'll tell you how it happened. We now have Americans across the country who think they have permission to yell at cops, not comply with cops, which gets people killed, and assault police officers. The Democrat Media Alliance owns a lot of that. They do. And as far as Biden's mental screw-ups, trying to be nice here for once, as far as his mental screw-ups go, let's keep in mind, what does Joe Biden really believe? Well, does it matter when he can't even get his thoughts out of his head?
Why attack Sanders?
Why? You're getting nervous, man.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
I'm not sedentary. I get up and no, let him go. Let him go. Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know. And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on, let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take the 19th.
You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier. You said you were.
Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone.
And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by, you know the thing.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
I'm beginning to see why your wife left you.
And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, you walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight. Thank you very much.
That may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. All right, we'll be back. Joining me now, former congressman from Virginia and current dean of business at Liberty University, Dave Brad. Congressman, I understand you disagree with him on most things, I'm sure, as do I, but what is the Joe Biden campaign about? What's it about? What's it stand for?
Yeah, well, I think you can look at my personal history as well. I ran against my own party to some extent pre-Trump because the swamp couldn't get anything done. And so right now, I think too many people are viewing the race in terms of a personality contest, you know, Biden versus Trump, et cetera. That's not what it's about, right? It's Biden has shown no willingness to buck any system that I've heard him talking about. So he's going to be pro-China, pro-billionaire, pro-teachers union, pro-regular union, pro-Green New Deal. And he's on the record saying all of that, right? So it's not a personality thing. It's he's going to represent the status quo and the big money. And ironically, with all the power on the left these days, I guess they gave a big exhale on Wall Street when they found they had Kamala there. So Joe Biden plus Kamala means exhale. The money train stays on the path, and the middle class, and that's everybody listening out there, you get nothing. And so that's the deal. And I fought my own side on that, so I think I got a little credibility saying if you're not breaking up the swamp, right, reducing the size of the federal government, then you need to go, and I don't care what party you're in.
Congressman, you have a great way of explaining these things. Explain the Wall Street DC connection. Somebody told me it really took place under Bill Clinton, where they essentially put a pipeline of some sorts between those two, and now they work with each other and against us. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you just look at, just take the lobbying example, right? So you can hire a lobbyist for $1 million, and if that lobbyist goes up to D.C. and changes one line in the budget, which is law, and provides an exemption for your firm so that you get a $1 billion deal, then your $1 million investment was cheap. And so you keep hiring lobbyists. And that's what you're seeing going on up there. Both sides are playing with these lobbyists. Both sides are going to have a hard time getting unaddicted from China, who sent us the virus. Because they're making huge money off of China, both sides. But Trump is the first one in 40 years to say, hey, I'm going to do what's best for the country here. And the country isn't paying attention. And so yeah, money runs everything up there, from every political ad to the real estate up there. The six richest counties in the country surround D.C. now. I mean, you know, it's plenty of evidence right there.
Explain for those of us who don't understand, why do I do something for a lobbyist if I'm a congressman? Congressman Dave Ratz sitting there, and Joe Schmo from Big Bank in Wall Street comes in and he wants you to do this. Why would you do anything for him? What do you get out of it?
Yeah, well, that's a tricky one, right? So they didn't meet with me because I was an exception. Leadership did not like me. I got kicked out of the dining room. They couldn't find anything else to take away from me. So they kicked me out of the members' dining room. That's how low I was. But the rest of them, it's not the $2,700 check you get. It's that they bundle for your party on the super PAC side to the millions or 10 millions. And that's the missing piece that you cannot see out there watching TV. So if you don't behave yourself, you get a bad report to your leadership, and then you don't get to be on a money committee, and I wasn't allowed to be on a money committee, and then your party doesn't help you and send you any money, and they didn't send me any money, so all they could do was kick me out of the members' dining room so I couldn't have the fancy bean soup.
Now, what's a money committee?
The top committees where if you're put on the committee, you get a guaranteed $1 million coming into your account. Because they are easy to fundraise off of, right? Any of the financial committees, the appropriation committees, the energy committee, you know, the defense committees, any of the prime, they call them A committees. Then there's B committees, you can raise some money. I was on the C committees.
Well, what were the C committees?
The C committees are for the people that got A's in school. The A committees are for the people that got C's in school, but they know how to move and group.
All right, back to Biden. I always get distracted. Back to Joe Biden. Green New Deal stuff. How did this get such popular support when I think this has to turn off the American public, right? I mean, does it turn off the American public? And how did this get such popular support?
Well, I mean, you can go look at like the head of Blackstone Company, where all the companies are going this way to kind of virtue signal to people that, hey, we care about the world. We care about stuff beyond profit. So we're going to make things green. And of course, you just go back to Al Gore for the founding logic, et cetera. The Green New Deal is only on the left, right? Because they don't follow markets. And so it's what I was talking about before with the lobbyists. You can insure yourself a $1 trillion industry if you can make this thing happen, right? If you can found a green energy component and then they mandate, I just got my bill in the mail the other day from Virginia Power. It said, we got to satisfy by, 2025, all green, clean power or whatever. Therefore, we're going to buy this wind stuff and this green stuff, and your rates are going to go up. And so, the fact that your rates are going up, that's the Jim Buchanan, who won a Nobel Prize in economics, wrote about that, right? If those teeny little pieces, right, just those teeny little, extra quarter, extra 50 cents to everybody's bill, you're not going to hire a lobbyist. But if they can get 50 cents out of everybody, that's a big chunk, right? That's in the millions, and eventually it's in the billions. And so they will hire a lobbyist to make that arrangement. And that's the economic logic that leads to this kind of thing. So you're not following the market. You're following, you're picking winners. And on the left, they're picking winners and setting up, what targets to hit, because that's what their friends are going to do. They get the contracts to do that. They get extremely wealthy, and the middle class pays the bill
every single time. Okay, well, I but it's been disproven. Like, we have areas like California right now. California is the fifth largest economy in the world if it was its own country, and they have brownouts all over the place because of all their idiotic green stuff. We know it doesn't work. Why isn't that enough? What's the disconnect?
Well, because the power players, even in California, are still there, right? Even if your own team goofs up, but your own team is friends with Nancy Pelosi, who's related to everybody, mayor of L.A., and they're all related. Kamala's out of you guys are doing good out there on the left. And so you don't badmouth any part of the team. You got some brownouts. Hey, it's, we're still trying to do good. We care about American people. We care about education. We care about all these green things. We have the worst track performance everywhere. We got the lowest test scores in education. We got brown skies, et cetera. It doesn't matter, right? You support the team when it comes to the money. And that's where we're stuck.
How are American test scores on the important subjects compared to the rest of the world? I'm talking high school, college. Are we falling behind? Are we doing fine? How are we doing?
No, we're bad. I used to do research on that. You can go out and look at the NAEP, N-A-E-P. Just Google NAEP test scores, international test scores. We got countries in Eastern Europe beating us out on math and science scores across the world. We should be based on spending, right? If it's based on spending, we should be number one by far. It's not. So I think we're down in the 40s and 50s on a lot of these things. And when you see the countries that are above us, they're all ranked, right? You can Google it and find it in 1 minute. And so just go Google NAEP test scores. That's the international comparison across countries. The World Bank, I think, has stuff on it. And that's human capital, right? That's one third of economic growth. So hard capital, machinery, that technology is the other third. And then human capital, the human brain, is measured by your test scores, especially in math. So it's a third, and a third. And we're doing terrible on the human mind part. And so you can imagine how that's linked to physical capital and to technology.
Well, I have to be honest, Congressman, I did nothing to raise those test scores up myself. Congressman Dave Brad, thank you, sir.
I'm sure you did fine. All right, thanks, Jesse. Great show.
Be good. All right, we'll be back. Join Joining me now is Republican strategist Joseph Pinion III. Joseph, do you ever go by Trey? I had a buddy, and he was not a junior. He was a third, and he went by Trey, but that was because he hated his real first name.
Well, you know, as I always say, my daddy called me Joseph. My mama calls me Joseph. Everyone else can just call me Joseph. I feel like, you know, if you call me Joey, it means you probably know me for a very long time. That's so it's just how the cards played out.
All right, fine. Well, then I won't call you Trey. Then I had these big plans, but that's all ruined now. Speaking of ruined plans, I spoke to somebody earlier this week, Joseph, and he floated an interesting theory out there about the Biden-Harris ticket. He thinks the Democrats are tanking the election on purpose because the powers that be in the Democratic Party, the Schumers, the Nancy Pelosi's in the world, he thinks they don't like this radical leftist takeover of their party. And if Joe Biden wins, those people are going to feel emboldened. What say you?
I mean, ironically, I think the opposite. I think that in a quasi similar way to how we actually got a President Trump, by people in our base who were so tired of Republicans playing it safe, that Romney was the safe pick, that McCain was the safe pick. I think similarly, if Democrats find a way to lose twice to a person in President Trump who they don't think should ever have stepped foot in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue by nominating somebody like Joe Biden and nominating somebody like Hillary Clinton, I think it's almost inevitable that we'll be looking at an AOC campaign for president 4 years from now, or somebody else who they just basically drag out of obscurity that's even more obscenely, you know, left-wing than they are. So, you know, I think when Michelle Obama says that this election is a matter of life or death, I think we should take her out of the world, because the stakes truly are that high when we talk about what the future of this republic will look like. And if America truly will have the opportunity to be a beacon for opportunity, prosperity, and freedom from tyranny as we have been from our inception.
Joseph, I don't disagree with you, and I'll tell you what. I actually don't fear somebody like Kamala Harris near as much as I fear somebody like AOC, because I believe AOC is an actual true believer. I felt this way about Obama as well. I felt like Obama was a true believer, and that's why he was so dangerous. Someone like Kamala Harris is simply going to say whatever she has to say to stay in power. That comes with its own set of dangers, but she has a long career of doing quite literally whatever you have to do to get ahead, and I just say that's not as dangerous as the true believer.
Well, look, you got somebody like Kamala Harris who, God bless her, wants to arrest your children for marijuana on a Monday and then use marijuana as a joke line to get elected president by Tuesday. So that's just what we're dealing with right now when you talk about the hypocrisy that exists on the left. I think, again, when you're talking about what Republicans need to accomplish heading into the back half of this election cycle, it's to remind the American people that the outcomes that Democrats say they want for all Americans rely on plans that have never produced those outcomes in the history of the world. So socialism does not work. It's taken places like Venezuela and Russia and all the former Soviet nations and destroyed them. And yet somehow they think that they're going to foster a kinder, more gentle socialism here at home because I guess Bernie Sanders is just that warm and cuddly. But America is founded on the principles that we are a nation of by the people, not also a nation ruled by any one man. And so when you talk about what comes next, when you put a framework in place that produces tyranny, we should not be surprised when you have that result bring itself to the foreground. And so I think that is why Republicans should remind people that the solutions that exist around the world that have worked are rooted in conservatism, rooted in protecting the ultimate minority, which is not actually about identity politics, but about the individual. Those individuals who have the right to freedom, prosperity, and the pursuit of happiness that our forefathers wanted for all of us.
I disagree with something Republicans do, because I agree with you about they need to create this contrast between socialism and what actually works. I think Republicans make a mistake when they do the think how much it costs thing. We can't afford that thing. Where does the money come from thing? I actually, while it's true, I don't think that moves the meter with people. If the Green New Deal costs $97 trillion, the numbers are so big now that people are numb to them. They should go more the concepts of it, more of how horrible it is for the human heart to be beholden to the federal government.
Yeah, I mean, I think Democrats do something very well, which is they feed comfort food for the masses, and they engage in what I call sloganeering that allows people to turn a blind eye to the fact that what they're proposing is not actually possible. And so they'll say something like Medicare for all, and they'll get everyone to buy into Medicare for all, because to be against Medicare for all means that you don't want health care for all people. And so now when we come to them and say, hey, guess what? Medicare for all doesn't work. Now we are the people who don't want health care for all people. We want to make sure that grandma has to get put on the iceberg and let drift out into the middle of the ocean. And that's actually not what we want. Ironically, it's exactly what the policies that Democrats are proposing would actually produce. The rationing of care, the fact that people don't have a choice to choose their own doctor, to choose their own outcomes. So again, this is nothing new. This extends even to now in the present, where people somehow say that you can't want justice if you're in favor of law and order, right? That somehow justice and law and order can't be partners, that you can't understand that we need more resources for law enforcement in the face of the atrocities that we've seen happening, particularly to people of color in certain neighborhoods. So those two things can live side by side. And I think if Republicans can get people to understand that the pain and suffering of everyday people can be healed by the actual proposals of conservatism, I think that marriage is something that most people will be open to if we stopped rejecting the pain and started explaining to people that the plans that we have for them is a lifeline that will raise all boats equally.
Where did you learn politics? Who's your biggest political influence or two?
Man, I mean, honestly, I think, you know, realistically, I think as people say, how do you end up with a black Republican from New York? I say, well, that's easy. You get a mother that works a lot and you get left at home with a Caribbean grandmother. So that's really, I think, at my heart, really is just core bedrock Caribbean African-American beliefs. We know for a fact that 60% of all Democratic voters who are black identify as either moderate or conservative. And yet we know overwhelmingly, almost in a one-to-one basis, black people are voting for Democrats. And so I think we need to get people to connect the things they care about in their everyday lives to the things that they're actually voting for on Tuesdays in November, and get the people to see in concrete fashion that if you want a more safe community, if you want to make sure that children don't get shot sitting on a stoop in Chicago, or daughters don't watch their father get shot in broad daylight in Queens, that you need more money for law enforcement, you need better training for law enforcement, that requires resources. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And that is the opportunity that conservatism provides. Stop allowing people to lie to you, to tell you that just because they want the same things for you means that they know what's best for you. Those two things are not in strict coherence with one another. And as I always said, I said, look, my grandmother loved me very much, but she also understood intuitively that if I needed a French tutor, she was not the best person to be there, right? So just understanding that love is not always connected to results, and that compassion sometimes requires us to acknowledge the fact that some of the things that people who love us want for us is not possible through their own tutelage.
One day, ladies and gentlemen, one day I'm going to have this guy running for our higher office, I promise you. Joseph Pinion III, thank you, man.
Appreciate you, man. Talk soon.
Be good. Guy's good, man. All right, we'll be back. Joining me now, former congresswoman, medical doctor, person who's done basically everything underneath the sun, Nan Haworth. Doctor, is it congresswoman or congressman? Because I was told one time, I forget what her name was. She was in Congress at the time. I called her congresswoman, and she pulled me aside and scolded me and said the proper term is still congressman, whether it's a man or woman. But I can't keep track of that.
You know, Jesse, as far as I know, either term is appropriate, as are, of course, representative or member of the House of Representatives. So if you want to play it safe, you can say representative, but I'm happy to answer to Nan, and to join you today is a great privilege, as always. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, we love having you. You know that. And Hatch Act. You sent me something on the Hatch Act. First of all, before we go into all the details on it, describe for people what the Hatch Act is, because it seems like each side brings it up all the time.
Well, yes, it's designed, it actually has specific exemptions for the president and the vice president, but it is designed to prevent the abuse of public office for political purposes. And in particular, historically, there was a lot of concern when the Roosevelt administration was throwing a lot of money into projects from the federal level in ways that hadn't been done before, that that this would be a means of thwarting that kind of corruption. And my feeling is that, you know what? And I've seen it in politics, and you know, Jesse, if people want to find a way to take advantage of political largesse, they will do it, regardless of where they may be.
Nan, I'm going to change the subject here briefly, and let's talk about Donald Trump for a moment. I feel like people are going to make a huge mistake after Donald Trump is done being president, whether that be 4 years or 8 years. And this is a mistake I think Democrats made with Obama. They're going to try to be Trump, but they're not Trump, meaning I think they're going to try to be bombastic and in your face and, you know, telling the hard truths. But it's not going to come off well, because it's hard to pull that off, and we're going to lose winnable elections because of it.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, I think what President Trump has taught us, has taught Republicans in particular, is that forthrightness and a refusal to back down in the face of attempted intimidation is a really potent way to make progress. And if you look at what the president has done in terms of policy, and I would say look beyond personas and look at policy, but you know, the president wouldn't have been able to do what he has done if he had not been, especially I think in a lot of ways on the foreign policy stage, you know, if he hadn't been as candid and unequivocal and unapologetic as he was. So I think in some ways we are going to see that reverberate through future generations, and I think it could be a good thing.
Well, let me clarify. I think it could be a good thing, too. I think the most important thing that people could take from Donald Trump is to give it right back to the press and be honest and be in your face. My point wasn't that. I think all of that's a good thing, and I like the way Trump has said it. My thing is, I think Republicans are going to think they have to be that way, and a lot of them are going to try to be something they're not, and it's going to come across as not genuine and really, really cringy.
That could happen. I think it's very important for people to be true to themselves. I think if you project a genuineness, and that is, it's not necessarily something, you know, Ronald Reagan was a great actor, and thereby he was able to communicate his genuine brilliance and patriotism. The president has never changed his style for anyone, which is that's his natural milieu. That's his métier. That's his place. I think if people try to imitate that and it's not what they do by nature, I think they'll make a mistake. But point taken about being forthright, being unintimidated, and being willing to take on your antagonists in a way that should be unabashed And I looked at Jeff Flake yesterday joining Republicans for Biden, and just remembered his cowering in that Senate elevator under a barrage from a paid protester. That is not what we want. That is the antithesis of what we should be.
That is a fact. I am proud to admit Jeff Flake hates my guts, and specifically because I hate that we have people out there in our party that pee themselves when a little liberal protester comes screaming at you in the elevator, but that's another matter entirely. What is the future of the Democratic Party after Joe Biden goes to play golf in Florida? And I don't mean Kamala Harris or whatever. What is the next generation? Let's be honest.
I know.
I'm actually not being mean for once. Nancy Pelosi's old. Joe Biden is old. These people are getting up there in years. There is a next generation. Yeah. And I think a lot of us have already decided it's going to be the AOCs, Ilhan Omars of the world. Is it? Or is there some more blue-collar, normal Democrat coming up through the ranks?
You know, Jesse, it's a great question, and as you always ask, these are thoughts that I've been entertaining recently as well. I was watching the first day night of the Republican National Convention, and marveling at the strength of our bench, Jesse. We have an incredible, steady flow of wonderful leaders who cherish our ideals. And even more importantly, can put that wonderful founding principle of this country, that empowerment of the citizen, can put it into action. I don't see that among the Democrats. I don't see that among any of them, even the middle generation of Democrats. You look at the Democratic governors, right? We always look to the governor class. The only one who I think might be impressive is the governor of Montana, who's something of a centrist. But frankly, Jesse, as you know, he started presidential run and got nowhere. So no, I think this party is being radicalized. That's where the energy is. They've got a lot of corporate buy-in on this Black Lives Matter Marxist insurrection movement. And I think the money clearly is not afraid to go in that direction. But I think we're going to have a wave election that the Democrats aren't expecting. And I don't think it's going to be in their favor. And I think a lot of people are going to wise up. And I think the Democrats are going to be scrambling, Jesse, because their ideas don't make sense. That's the thing. Their policies don't make sense. They don't have anything to offer in that way. And I think they're going to fail, and they're going to be marginalized. And the violence that we're seeing is helping that all along. That's a very Kenosha, Wisconsin now, Providence, Rhode Island, diners being harassed in cafes across at least in two places in the country, and I'm sure there'll be more. This is not the way people want to live. And I think once it hits suburbia, they're going to wake up even more forcefully. And that's where the middle ground would be. Democrats aren't there.
Nan Hayworth, isn't she awesome? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, sir, always.
All right, we will be right back. You and I have to exist in the real world. We're not children anymore. Politics does matter. Presidential elections do matter a lot. They're important. The truth is Joe Biden or Donald Trump are going to be president of the United States after November 3rd. We cannot have Joe Biden as president of the United States after November 3rd. I'm not asking you to be the biggest Trump fan in the world, but this leftist party, that's not going to work for us. All right, we'll do it again sometime. You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. That's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work.
gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.